Dirt and Spray continues.
So your wife tells you something. I need to know, where are we going with this?
Andy Dirt Johnson.
She said, you know what I think we should contemplate buying? She wants to put our kid on a leash.
Brandon Sprague.
It's like seeing a tiger in a zoo. You just feel awful for it.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Look, she's an unbelievable mom. She carries all the weight in our family. I have to preface all this because she says I only throw her under the bus on the air.
So you just threw her
on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three. Dirt and Sprague, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, and guess what? Live on YouTube.
I think I'm going to buy the tickets.
Are you going to do it?
I just don't want to wait, and I'm going to regret it, because if Sunday happens and we're down 3-0, that ticket I'm about to buy is going to be listed probably for $41.
Yeah, that's the only regret, if it's a 3-0 series.
Which it very well could be. I don't want any of this to be misconstrued as like...
Well, how dare you? I got Blazer fan very upset with me right now.
Why?
For speaking honestly about how I think the series is going to go.
What do they
think? How dare you come in and be negative today?
Really?
We're really going to do that? Do you want me to come on the air and say I think they're going to sweep San Antonio? How about this? Breaking news. I think the Blazers are going to sweep San Antonio.
Oh, my God.
They're going to sweep them out of the first round of the playoffs.
Crap.
Denny Avdia is better than Victor Wembanyama. We're going to win a championship this year.
Wow.
Are you happy now?
How about that?
What are we doing, man? I love this market and hate this market simultaneously sometimes. I don't think they're going to win the series. If that affects your day, I apologize. But that's the risk that you're taking.
Well, if Denny doesn't score 41, who is going to have better production to be close with a really good team?
Doesn't matter. We're better than San Antonio. We're going to win every game by 20 points.
Damn right.
Yeah, you're rolling the dice either way, because if it is 3-0, the ticket prices will undoubtedly come down.
It might be $100 less than what I'm about to buy it for.
But then also add in the fact of, what if they do steal a game in San Antonio, one of the first two, and you go into if they steal one of the first two games, the ticket prices for game four will shoot through the roof.
Now, here's why I haven't bought it yet. And even though I gave the opinion of I think they will win one of the two for whatever weird reason I think it's a 5-game series, but I think they steal one of the first two.
Just don't give me a Sean Elliott shot. That's all I ask for.
Here's my hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
I just watched them play this team without Wimby and Castle.
Yeah.
And they needed to win it, by the way.
Yeah, it was a big, for the playoff standings and all that, it was a big win for them, or needed win.
And... yeah, they cut it to like 6 or 5 or something, but largely San Antonio handled them.
They did.
And now I'm like, okay, wait, Castle and Wimby are going to play now.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's why I don't
I'm hesitating. I don't know what to do here. I'm stuck.
You gotta make a decision.
I do not want to cost myself
$400 total
because if game four happens and they're down 3-0, that ticket might just be offered to me.
It could be.
Hey, dude, nobody's buying it. You just want it? I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll take them.
I got a pair of tickets and 212 if you want them. They're all yours. Damn it!
I would definitely check social media at somebody. Hey, man, I heard what you said on a Wednesday show. I coincidentally have tickets to that game. We're out. It's 3-0. I'll give them to you for like $30 each, and I'll be like, damn it.
Can I tell you, we'll get to the Jailblazer doc. We haven't talked about that yet today. We'll have a ton more thoughts. Good morning to our audience on YouTube for everybody tuning in. Glad that we got that worked out. Thank you, Brand Man, for coming in and helping us out there. I will say... one of the things that I am most excited for about this postseason series, not just on top of like finding out where we stack up, right? I talked about it in the last hour. I still have a hard time figuring out what category to put Denny into. And I'm not going to change my mind based off of a game against Phoenix. Like, I need a larger sample size on the biggest stage before I, you know, feel a certain way going into the offseason.
Right.
I saw somebody bring up the point. I can't remember who it was. I wanted to shout him out. But somebody had a great point last night that was basically like, great timing for this to happen because we all know who have been around the organization long enough growing up in the area. Like, there's a generation of Blazer fans who haven't had a chance to see a playoff game. It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're like, for your kids, for example, or if your kids are in the, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 year old range, you don't remember a playoff game. You haven't been to a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a whole new wave of fans that I think will be, have some life injected into them, and they'll be excited and go to the game and catch the fever. And then you'll be more all in next year. Cause we all remember those moments as kids.
Right.
But we know what this city is like come playoff time. We know what the environment is like in the Moda Center come playoff time. And they just brought up the point of like, we got new owners. We got to figure out how the renovation stuff is going to happen with the Moda Center, what the investment level is going to be in certain things on and off the floor going forward. The coaching rumors are rampant. If they don't want to spend a lot of money, what are they going to do in the offseason? Are they going to be aggressive? But is there any bigger indicator to show a new owner what this city can be like when things are going great than having a home playoff game right out of the gate. And having, like, just the atmosphere on that Friday night game. Talk about a perfect schedule. Not that it wouldn't be rocking on a Tuesday, but you add in the extra element that it's a Friday night is your first home playoff game in, what, 5-6 years, however long it's been?
Five.
And that place, you know, that like, that place is going to be full an hour before tip.
Well, actually, no.
Let's go Blazer chance to be happening the entire game. Like, it's going to be insane. And for a new owner to get to see that and be like, damn, he knows what the investment level is. He probably knows that we're passionate fans. But it's a different level in game three of the playoffs than it is game 72 of the regular season.
Remind me, in 21, we were still dealing with COVID stuff. Were there fans allowed at the arenas?
I believe there were, but it was on a limited basis, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and they pushed them. They couldn't be in, like, the floor. First
That's right.
Rows.
I remember that. But I couldn't remember if we were TV screens or we were real people in person.
I believe that was the only time that
it wasn't real people, TV screens.
The next year, at the start of the year, I don't think there were fans. But by the time the playoffs came around, and that was the series we lost to Denver.
So that was our last home playoff game with fans.
Yes.
But even that is not the same environment. So really, 2019.
It's been a minute, dude. Since the conference finals, since we've had a legitimate sellout home playoff game.
I love what you're saying because I think you're right in a lot of ways. He was seen filmed getting shoot-around in. He was shooting shots. People were like, dude, how about that, huh?
Got his headphones in, getting some buckets up.
I think Mark Cuban was like, dude, this guy's a bucket getter. And so people feel good because the guy genuinely comes off as a sports fan.
Yeah.
Everything you said, it might motivate him to want to get stuff done around the arena and in the arena. And I was also told that he probably doesn't know, or at least was not reminded, that the WNBA is happening this summer, and so their renovation stuff in the summertime is probably not happening because he was caught off guard with that question.
Yeah, that's a, I mean, yeah, that's a can of worms.
Because they kicked it to Dwayne, and Dwayne was like, yeah, you know, we want to get on it, but the timeline of 27, 29, 31 was the ultimate goal.
I still don't understand. As somebody, I know you haven't been in. Yeah. I have. I don't understand why they can't play in the VMC.
Because they already had an agreement.
I'm not saying permanently. I'm saying while the renovations are taking place.
You're talking about the WNBA team?
The WNBA team.
I mean, yeah, you can wonder
that. It holds 9,000.
Is it 9? I thought it was 12.
I think they took out some seats in the renovation because the seats are now wider.
Okay.
It's all the concourse is all new. The bath, like everything in that sense, it's not the old VMC if you haven't been.
Well,
in.
They have to get some funding stuff secured on the Blazer end. But
sure,
I don't know if he knew when that timeline was really going to start. My point is just simply for everything you're highlighting, he's also seeing a passionate fan base in Carolina, and I don't think that stuff that necessarily sways.
That's fair.
How he operates or views everything. Does he want the team to be good? Yes. Why? Well, he wants to charge more. Does he want people to have good concession prices? Yes. Why? Because they end up paying more.
Right.
So, like, that stuff matters to him. He's not going to be here in the city enough, I think, for him to feel what you're talking about.
I mean, that's fair. I think what I would say is that's mainly the argument being for any of the fringe fans who still have that fear in the back of their mind that this thing could be going somewhere else. And maybe that still isn't even enough
really?
To change their
we're
mind.
We're still doing that?
I don't think we are. Well, we're not doing that, but of course those fans still exist. I know those fans still exist.
Let them go on a Reddit page and do that. I don't want to do that.
I just think it's a great way to showcase. It's been a long time. It's been nearly a decade since we've played a legitimate home playoff game. 2019 was
half
the last
of a decade
time
is a long time
since
dude.
We blew a double-digit lead in Game 4 of the conference finals for the Golden State Warriors, and our season came to an end. That's the last time we had a legitimate sold-out playoff game.
Was that the Myers-Leonard game?
That the Game 3 and Game 4 were Myers-Leonard games.
Yeah, we were there.
No, I know.
We were blessed.
We were blessed.
I bought a pair of shorts because of that.
Yeah, that's right. And then he did the thing on the stream, and it was like
that happened later. Okay, happened
later. He had the shorts. Like you have something after.
We forgive and forget.
You wearing those blessed shorts at all?
He had 30 points in Game 4,
and didn't he have like 25 in the first half?
Most of them at halftime.
Yeah, because the building was going nuts. Yeah.
I mean, we had a double digit lead again, and we scored 16 points in the fourth quarter, and then
that was the series in a nutshell. We had leads, and
outside
we blew
of game
it every
one,
time.
Game one they smoked.
I remember
us
that
in game one.
Yes, but game two they blew a lead. Game four it was all like we're blowing leads, and Golden State won it.
Pull up Myers game from game three.
I mean, I just think in general, like no matter
16 in game three,
where you're at on. Dirt is offending me because he's saying the Spurs will win in 5, or I think this will be 6, or it's going to be a sweep. You guys are Blazer idiots. Whatever, wherever you are, the universal agreement is that this city buzzes more
without a doubt
when you're involved.
I'm psyched to have now, actual meaningful game. Like, this is going to be awesome to talk about for the next two, no matter how it goes, right? Like,
yes,
this guy, like, you've already, you're playing with house money at this point, getting to a seven seed. There would have been the thought of, had you lost last night and lost the other play-in, like, sure, there's the benefit of getting your first-round pick and having that ammunition in the offseason.
Oh, I think it would have been a dud.
But it also would have felt like a massive disappointment of, like, dude, the bottom of the West sucked. Yep. We weren't better than these. The Warriors haven't won a game in a month.
Right.
We just beat the Clippers. Like, how are we not better than the Suns already? So you would have been left asking more questions. And the fact that now you know that you're the seventh, whether you win a game or get swept, like, that's kind of a moot point to me.
Mm-hmm.
You have taken a step. You've gotten into the playoffs. You're not the last team in. You won't be a sacrificial lamb to OKC. And now
well,
we
you
go
might
see
be one of the Spurs.
You might be one of the Spurs, but there is the benefit of, like, San Antonio never being there before. Like, I don't know how big of a storyline that will be, and I think Wemby is the old, like, he's the maybe the best up-and-coming player in the league. You could argue maybe he should win the MVP this year and deserves more consideration.
Duncan
for
won
that.
The title his second season.
Yeah, it's just, this is far more interesting than playing Oklahoma City, and I think you feel like internally, whether it's a 0% chance to a 2% chance or a 1% chance to an 8% chance,
yeah,
that you give yourself against San Antonio as opposed to Oklahoma City. It is slightly higher than it would be against the defending champs. So this is all house money. You kind of, like, you're going in the right direction, and then we can get to the questions in the offseason when the offseason arrives, whether that's in four games, five games, or in the second round of the playoffs. I don't know. I'm psyched to have playoff basketball back in Portland and to have that buzz in the city where everybody is like, last night was the first time. I'm in a couple of different group chats, and I got one with buddies who follow sports and all that. It was the first time in God knows how long, maybe since NBA draft night, to be honest with you, that the whole feed was chiming in on the Blazers.
This past draft?
Yeah,
the
like
young
the young Hansen,
Hansen
of, like, wait, what the hell was that? Like,
sure.
I think everybody reacted to that because we didn't think we were going to take him.
Yeah.
But it was just, it was like every, you know, 8 seconds, boom, 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 like every time there was a turnover or a big shot, like it was the entire night. And it was like, man. Whoa. I kind of forgot what this felt like.
I thought they highlighted that part of the doc, and I know we'll get to that, but, like, the highlighting of this being the only pro sports team on the major, you know, core four, that matters in a different way.
Yep.
And whether you think this team is going the right direction, they need to tweak it this way, they're going the wrong, whatever your opinion is, at just when this team starts playing games with stakes, you're kind of an idiot if you can't see how much it matters to everybody that cares about sports here.
Yes.
And so last night, the draft pick or the 8 or the 7 or the do you have a chance, not have a chance, none of that mattered. You know what mattered? Watching Denny Avdija get 41.
Be the best player on the floor.
And hit a go-ahead shot and them get a key stop and winning on the road on the only featured game of the night in the entire league and grab the 7th seed.
Yeah, you're a standalone show.
You're a standalone show. You got to show what you are. You've got people covering and talking about the league all over, TV, podcasts. You know, this team. And we haven't been in that position in a long time. And it matters a great deal, man, to your text point. You get people that text you when this team is in games with real stakes. And last night, that's what we got, along with Denny dropping 41.
We got text coming in earlier saying it's the first time I've watched a full Blazer game all year.
I know. Yeah, I get it.
Those people are now on board. Like, that's the beauty of the playoffs in this city, is that kind of brings everybody on board. Where are you at on the San Antonio series? You can yell at me for thinking they lose. 503-864-6326. Tell me what they're going to win by, every game by 15. We're just curious where fans are at. I do eventually want to get into, we'll probably do it at the bottom of the hour, for those who have watched the Jailblazer documentary. I finally finished it last night. I think I finished it during halftime.
Oh, I got it.
Jumped over from halftime, and then I had a few minutes left in the doc.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that. What did we think? Did it hit the mark? Did it miss the mark? What do we like about it, not like about it? So we'll get to that coming up. Some more thoughts, though, on the Blazers leading into their matchup against San Antonio next on The Fan. All right, let's read a couple thoughts. Fan text line 503-864-6326. We'll dive into the Jailblazer doc coming up bottom of the hour. Got a couple of football nuggies, not a ton, but the Rossini thing's interesting, so we'll probably bring that up at some point.
Found myself feeling bad.
Yeah, I mean, we all fed the beast. We're all guilty of it.
You feed the beast. Some people fed the beast.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not out there putting videos out, but we play clips on the show. We talked about it. I mean, it's interesting. Yeah. It's news in the sports world, but we'll get to that at some point on the show today. This one came in. Is this the first time all season they've had all their guys healthy? Sans Dame, of course. That's what I'm excited about the most for the series. I think we lose, but you can finally see where you're at with your full complement of guys. And I think that, you know, we didn't know if Jeremy was going to play last night. He was questionable going into the game. There was a thought, well, they... you know, maybe, maybe not. He ended up having a massive impact on the game and hit those threes late.
Yeah.
Was a big part of you kind of coming back late after blowing that lead late third, early fourth quarter. And that, I think, gets back to the point that you brought up earlier in the week of why you wanted them desperately to win that game last night. Of just seeing, like, you have everybody, sans Dame, of course, who will be back next year. Although, Worldwide Wob had a really funny tweet. It was like, can we just get Dame to rappel from the rafters ahead of game three in uniform?
like Sting
coming down. And now the letter O! And he's like coming down from the rafters, getting ready to play. That one made me chuckle. But I think that's the ultimate win of the series, is simply, where are we at? Mm-hmm. Like, all the takes that are coming in about Denny, people are throwing stuff in your face, Sprague. Third option, huh, Sprague? Like, that's going to come out today.
Mm.
Just we got a fully healthy team. Sans the one guy we knew was not going to be healthy all year. Grant's back. Scoot's back. Shaden's back. All these guys are in the lineup. Now we get to see how you stack up over the course of a series, not a one-game sample size, against a team who was hovering at or above 500 the majority of the season. This is a legitimate title contender that you get to play. Can you hang? Can you win a game? Can you force them into an uncomfortable situation? Do you get steamrolled? It'll give us a great blueprint going into the offseason of where we're at and what we need to improve and adjust.
Well, no doubt the Denny stuff was remarkable last night. I think I say thank you to the people texting in about the third option thing that I said, 4 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Last year? I mean, I don't know when I said that, but it was a substantial amount of time. I'm glad you held on to it. I'd be willing to reconsider the position. I still, like, when you talk about leading a team to a title, I'm not quite sold on that, despite how super impressive all that was. But yeah, maybe the second, for sure. I also, like, as happy as I was that they won, because one, I bet the money line, two, I thought they would as soon as that matchup was announced, and three, I want to watch them play the Spurs, because I think the Spurs are one of the two teams in the West that are going to be here for some time, so let's see how you match up so you can figure out how to build this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, narrow victory, I didn't think Phoenix was that great. The defensive assignment and the way that they played Denny, I thought in the last possession, was incredibly stupid. So there were elements on both sides for me. That being said, it is really important to note that they are healthy. Now, Dame Lillard is not a part of this, so some people could see this and say, look what we're doing. Now, when we add Dame.
Yeah, Dame will be back in the fold.
But I'm not one that's going to completely put everything in the same basket of, well, they made the 7 seed, and regardless of the outcome, Dame's coming back, run it all back. And I don't think they're going to operate that way. I said from the Dundon interview or press conference, my biggest takeaway is they're making a move. And I know some people don't believe that, but that's my opinion of it. As for the matchup, I mean, dude, all you ask for is an opportunity to go against teams that other people look at as title contenders.
Yes.
And so that's what you get. You get to see how they match up. You don't think the guy dealing with sore ribs is going to have a moment where our guy who committed a flagrant one foul might be putting that sidearm defensive positioning in a little firmer
than normal.
And they're
going to be less likely to blow the whistle against Wemby at 7'5 than 6'5 Dylan Brooks.
And so, like, I just want to see how it all looks. And you give them a ton of credit for winning last night. My bank account thanks you for winning last night. That was great. I want games that matter back in our city.
Yeah.
How they build it are areas we're going to disagree with at times. But all I ask for is for that team to matter. They haven't mattered in 5 years, and now they're at least in a conversation that people have to talk about them because, oh, they're going against one of the title favorites in San Antonio.
A couple of thoughts here. Somebody said, I honestly think that the Blazers will win game one against the Spurs. I think the Spurs might overlook us to start with. They will recover, but the Blazers will get a second win and lose the series in 6. I think all but one game will be close.
Here is my takeaway, because I think they'll lose in 5. That's my pick. Spurs in 5, and I don't think I'm going to change that between now and the first game. I don't know if it's game 1 or 2. I understand if you pick one or the other, it doesn't really matter. You think they win one.
Mm-hmm.
The game 1's interesting to me because the inexperience of a lot of the Spurs guys...
That continues to be a theme text. The idea that
certainly.
We're more experienced come playoff time.
All I'd say is I don't know if I'm putting Wemby in that category. He is the one that I think comes out in game 1 and doesn't say, well, it's the Blazers, I don't. I think he's one that comes out and says, I'm 6 o'clock primetime Peacock game,
right.
NBC National... I'm dropping 40 on your head.
Right.
Like, that's how I view him as a player versus, is Dylan Harper going to struggle? Is Stephon Castle going to be 2 for 10? Like, certainly possible. Wemby's like one of the only historical differences, I'd say. I don't have that expectation with Wemby to overlook the team and think the moment's too big.
They've also, the idea of them overlooking, I think if you want to lean on the lack
this
of playoff.
This is their first playoff series.
They've never been in the playoffs.
This is
group.
Their taste,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, since like 18.
Fox has only been in one playoff series. I know.
They've had a longer drought than the Blazers have.
Yes, it's been a long time for them. Like, this is Wemby's third year now. Like, they have not been in the, so I think it's one thing. You could have made that argument, I think, against OKC, where game one, you're like, they're coming off a title defense. They've been going through the motions, or the one seed, and they're like, we're playing Portland. They no-show game one, and then win every game by 30 from then on out. I think I'd believe a little bit more of that, but maybe it ends up being right. Who the hell knows how this plays out? That's the exciting part. I think I lean more on, if you want to be optimistic about the series, the lack of playoff experience from San Antonio, and maybe the moment being a little too big for some of those guys.
Here's my only counter. How many big games, and you could say regular season playoffs are different. There's no doubt. How many big nationally primetime games have they been in this season?
They've been in a lot of them. They just played in one against Denver the other day that felt like a big game, and the seeding was on the line, and they were trying to hold them off for the 2 seed, and they're trying to get the 1 seed. And so, yeah, and look, I brought it up earlier. Wemby's played in a gold medal game. That's about as big as you could possibly get in his home country on the international stage.
Yeah.
Talk about pressure.
More people watched that game than will watch any NBA Finals
yes,
game.
Yes, they did. So he's certainly been there, and you can make the argument for guys from the college level as well, Castle in particular. So I just think I'd lean a little bit more on that. The idea of them overlooking us, I don't buy into that because of the fact that this is their first playoff game as a group, and they're starting what they believe to be is a dynasty run.
Yeah.
For years to come. This is game one. They're going to want to come out and get on the right tone. But that's the beauty of the games, man. That's why you play them, because nobody knows has any clue how it will play out.
Yeah. My biggest takeaway is, like, if they're winning a game, it's because Denny goes off again.
Yes.
It's because Jrue Holiday plays exceptional. Tamani hits his threes. Jeremy chips in, and maybe Shaden gives you like 18, and Donovan dominates glass. Like, that's it. It's not a, well, Wemby scored 10 points game.
Right.
And if that happens,
he had the LeBron JJ Barea moment where you're like, dude, why are you not shooting?
And he can't figure it out. He's like, I don't know what's going on.
Rob Williams gets in his head for a game.
Now we're talking. Now we're our young center versus their young center. Let's see how we do.
Yeah, I just think we have one of those games in us where that happens, and they outplay some of the others on San Antonio.
Let's throw Young Hansen at him. See how he responds.
DMP.
I like this too. I'm going to the Jailblazer docs. And we said, willing to reconsider your position, Sprague? Sounds like Americant behavior. Well done. Jailblazer doc came out yesterday. We'll dive back into this series. Your thoughts are welcome. Whether you want to yell at us or give your thoughts, doesn't matter. 503-864-6326. The Jailblazer doc came out. We've been waiting for this for a long, long time. We happen to have starring roles in it for 17 seconds. No big deal. Waiting for my royalty check from Netflix.
I almost don't want to even say we're in it. Like, it's ridiculous.
What did you think of it? If you watched it, I got some thoughts, and I know you guys do as well. We'll talk about that next. We get the sadder story coming up. Final hour. Some more thoughts on the Blazers win over Phoenix yesterday. Enjoyed this one. Hey, this guy in the green hat's downer. Thank you, Simple Dude 70. Jailblazer doc came out yesterday. We have been awaiting a long time for the release of this documentary. I wasn't going in thinking this is going to blow my socks off and we're going to learn all sorts of new things. What stood out in watching the documentary? Do we give it a thumbs up, thumbs down, whatever, kind of what we thought it was going to be?
Yeah.
How do we feel about the Jailblazer doc?
About what I thought.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't... I thought the star of the doc was actually Jeffrey Arnold.
Yeah, Jeffrey Arnold had a nice moment. I'd forgotten about Jeffrey Arnold.
I hadn't heard the name in a long time.
It's been a minute.
And I thought he was fantastic, providing insights that no other white people on that doc were providing.
No.
His line about, like, you know, black players living in Lake Oswego and what they nicknamed it, and him just basically saying, like, I had that reaction as a journalist. Oh, the Oregonians hiring black people?
Right.
Like, he went through some of that himself in his profession, and so for him to kind of have this multi-viewed angle of it, I thought was interesting. It was a nice reminder of the Rashid article that he wrote years ago that was, that certainly circulated.
Yeah.
Other than that, like, it really, to me, I thought they fast-forwarded too quickly through the Western Conference Finals years.
Yeah, they didn't touch on the San Antonio series at all leading
like
into
zero.
The night. Like, didn't even mention that it happened.
Yeah, they made it seem like the Lakers' Western Conference Final run was their first real leap because they got Scottie. I just found it to more... more so be about how much we hate Rashid,
mm-hmm.
how Damon loved weed, how Bob Whitsitt couldn't stop tweaking.
He loved the weed.
And how out of touch the organization became with the community and the nature of the organization.
Yeah, I became addicted to getting problematic players and he just could not stop.
Yeah, and like obviously Bonzi was kind of the driving force of this being made according to Damon Stoudemire and Rashid Wallace. Like Bonzi wanted to do this years ago. The only thing I liked from it, like truly liked, I liked the perspective. I do think from time to time, because these guys start making so much money, we kind of omit or overlook what we were in similar age ranges. And the Bonzi part of going to Portland out of a draft trade and him thinking Portland, Maine, and then discovering Portland, Oregon. I'm not excusing the comments he made. I just think there's an element of like growing up that I thought they touched on that I'm like Bonzi coming back, that meant a lot to him.
It did.
And
it healed a lot of wounds that had never healed.
Kind of thought that going into the reunion thing that they had this year, but also like I guess I didn't really consider it to the full extent. Like Damon almost made him cry when he visited him in his hotel room and talked about growing up in a city. And
said the whole reason I did this, he didn't want to do it. The whole reason he did it was because Bonzi desperately wanted to.
I also like, I kind of thought Arnold nailed it. And to a certain extent, this is where the doc I thought failed. I thought Arnold made a good point of like, Bonzi never got arrested.
He never got in trouble for anything. Sans a quote in a Sports Illustrated article that we don't care about the fans and what they think.
And Rashid went through his personality type mixed with everything going on around the team and then the media. Like, that was just a toxic combination that was brewed up. Reliving the Damon, you know, illegal search in his house.
Dude,
thing
that was one of the standout
for
me's of like, I remembered some of the details about things. I didn't remember all the details about the arrests and how they went down. Like the Hummer one, I did not remember that at the time they were just,
they weren't driving they were in the back seat
and there were no charges. And then they woke up the next, they got a speeding ticket.
And they got elevated.
Well, and they didn't because they weren't driving. Right. The driver got a speeding ticket and they woke up the next morning to elevated charges. I didn't remember those details.
Sure.
I also remember there being controversy about Damon's arrest for the pound of weed that he had in his house, but not all the specifics of, and then to hear him talk about how like he came home and something was funky, like
he could tell
somebody was in his house, like what is happening here, and then all of a sudden they show up, they're going through the house, and then he gets arrested, and then he ends up winning the argument, he wins the case that it was an illegal search and they couldn't file any charges out of it.
He never went back to his house, he sold the house
and he was like, dude, I'm done. So that remembering some of those details was nice, to put a little context behind it. I agree largely with what you said. There wasn't a lot of new stuff. Frustrations I had with it, and I get that why some people wouldn't want to do it. I was frustrated there weren't more players involved. Like, getting Scotty on this, I think, would have been interesting in his perspective.
Did he want to be?
I don't know. Probably not.
Sean Kemp a little bit.
Yes. Who probably signaled the biggest of all the downfalls when you go to the conference.
Reuben Patterson was
Sean Kemp came first, and he was after losing game seven of the conference finals. Your move to go beat the Lakers the next year was getting Sean Kemp.
Who became so heavy he could barely
dunk. He was a
fat
ass who couldn't show up on time and had a cocaine problem, and that was your move, Bob Whitsitt.
No doubt.
So I wish there would have been another player or two involved. That was a disappointment. And then on each side of acknowledging mistakes, I was frustrated that Rashid never once was in older life of like
zero, like anything.
I shouldn't have gotten that many texts.
Yeah,
I could have been a better teammate and not hurt my team in moment. Like never once acknowledging that he had any fault in it.
Yeah,
and then Bob Whitsitt on the other side being like,
dude, he tripled down.
You got to be aggressive. You got to be innovative. You can't. How always got to be pushing. Like, dude, Bob, time has now healed the wound.
How about Bob Whitsitt challenging the interviewer of the doc? I dare you to find the free agent list of anybody better than Reuben that could have guarded Kobe.
Yes.
I don't have the list. Yeah, I'll wait.
Bring up the names. And then he never got in trouble while he played here. He got arrested for assaulting his wife.
Yeah.
Like, they get to that in the documentary, like minutes later, there's a 911 call from Reuben Patterson's wife of him strangling her. And then having, like, him not having any wherewithal to say, man, I wish after we blew game seven, we had such a good young team and we came so close and we had this clunky fourth quarter, mm-hmm. that our second half, whenever it started,
straight missed shots.
I in hindsight, I wish I would have given it one more year to see what we could have done.
And that's how they felt.
And that's how the players felt. That's how they all admitted it in the doc of, like, we wish we had one more crack at it. And here's Bob Witsit just saying, no, you always have to push the ball forward.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't sign Sean Kemp's fat ass.
I thought it was interesting for him at the beginning to talk about getting a computer as a GM when nobody had had that before.
That was funny.
And him kind of acknowledging in a roundabout way, I had to, because we don't get free agents, I had to find guys problematic, but then in the back end of the doc telling you why, still to this day to him, Ruben Patterson was the right decision.
Very defensive about that. I think the only mistake he acknowledged was the Kemp one. After Kemp had to leave the team halfway through the season to go to cocaine rehab. and it was a good point. The one thing I'll give Witsit credit on was him pointing out, and this was wild, I didn't know the stat, there's only three teams in the history of the NBA that have a 9-year stretch averaging 50 or more wins every single season. And the Jailblazers were one of them.
They just didn't bring home the title.
The other ones were the Showtime Lakers and the Bad Boy Pistons, which also rubbed a little more salt in the wound of they were really good.
The Spurs weren't in there?
Now, according to Witsit, I guess maybe we shouldn't
take
his word for
it. The Spurs and Bulls were not in there. Jordan won 6-8, and they were still good when he was
gone. A 9-year stretch, did they do it before they won the first title? Did they win 50 games? I know they were good the 2 years he was gone.
I guess.
So, that's what Witsit said on the doc, so maybe I shouldn't take him at his word.
Sure.
But that kind of blew my mind of like, because you forget in some of those years that they lost with all the controversies that they were still winning like 50 games every year.
Well, you know.
Even with all that other stuff going on.
I like that they got Colin back on it to talk about the Portland-based stuff.
He was pretty loose. He was fun in the documentary.
Well, Colin's at a point now where he makes a lot of money.
He doesn't care
anymore. Anything he does.
Let him fly, baby.
That being said, like, I kind of thought we'd have more local media members on than they had. Like, where was Joe Becker?
Where was Kerry Eggers?
Yeah,
he wrote a book about him.
Dude, and by the way, took a subtle shot on the podcast that those three did with Matt Barnes of like, people writing Jailblazer books, but they didn't get no quotes from us, did they?
Maybe that's why they weren't in the dock then. Because Bonzi, I think, had
Dave
a big say
Dave Deckard
in this.
Was in the dock.
He was, yeah.
And I'm not saying Dave Deckard shouldn't, like Blazers Edge, I get it, but I just was surprised certain people weren't in it.
Yeah, the only other frustration I had was I wish there was a little more fan perspective of different generations of what we felt at the time, what it meant to the city, and it harped on a lot. The negativity was certainly there.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no doubt about it, but there's also, when I talked about this when you were out, there's a generational difference, right? For people in our generation, that's kind of all we got, and we came close, and I've said a million times, first time I ever cried was Game 7, and so that's kind of all we had in our childhood, and so it was different to us than it was to older generations of fans. And they showed a couple of news clips from kids saying they're not role models anymore. Like
I remember that.
I never felt that way as a kid.
Well, the other thing,
I more laughed when they got in trouble.
Yeah, I also didn't use athletes as a child as like, oh, that's my ground for morality. I just like, I don't know, you could just choose to not.
I thought smoking weed in a yellow Hummer sounds kind of fun.
Actually, I kept going back, and I was when I saw the interviews with everybody they talked to, I wondered how many of the adults would I guess were smoking weed at their home at the time that were going
who
on
were
the
critical
news.
Of the team and the players.
Like, you know, it should be better role models.
I can't do this.
Yeah. I mean, look, Sheed is, I'm with you. The fact that he just like, F them, I'll never go back.
Didn't come to the reunion.
There's just some elements of like growing up and maturing and changing. And yeah, you may have felt wronged in a lot of ways, no doubt. You just did nothing wrong.
It's been almost 30 years. You can't acknowledge.
Like not any anything. Single thing.
Not
that
one.
You
can't
did.
Find one I regret. Mean, one regret's all I'm looking for.
So that was just one element of it. But like for people that wonder why did kids my age, I'm 2 years older than you, like Rashid was a big deal. It's no different than any other musician or movies. It's a counterculture thing. There's a rebel nature to the technical fouls that, like, me at that age, I loved it. It was
like,
yeah,
F
those guys, man. And I understand kind of all the viewpoints of it, but largely kind of what I expected from the doc is what it was. The only surprise, they stole stuff from our show.
Hey.
We didn't get a heads up on it, and we're in it.
Give me my check, Netflix. Give me my check.
All 16 seconds of us.
I'm going to add that to my Twitter profile, Netflix star, Netflix celebrity.
This would be a personal complaint. We'll go when we get on YouTube. You couldn't put, like, voices during spring?
Yeah. 105.1 The Fan, even?
A 105.1 graphic?
Station, something.
Something?
Anything.
Just random two guys saying, good Tuesday morning, we got breaking news?
Shout out to our listeners who knew our voices and sent us messages saying we were in it. They heard right away.
Love that it came out on a Tuesday, and I'm saying, hey, happy Tuesday morning.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. What'd you make of the doc if you saw it? 503-864-6326. Jailblazer Doc came out yesterday on Netflix. We'll get to a quick NFL note coming up top of the hour. Status story back after this on the floor. Somebody pointing out one of the non-Jordan years for the Bulls, because you asked about the Bulls in that streak. They won 49 games. So I think it was nine straight years of 50 or more wins.
So that would have been, I think it had been the year Jordan came back, because I think the year after Jordan left, they won 55.
Yes, and then lost to Orlando.
No, they lost to the Knicks.
Oh, was that when Pippen tapped out?
Yes.
And
they gave it to Coach the game winner.
Tony!
I think they won 55, and then the next year Mike came back.
The Spurs is a shocker. I, too, would have thought the Spurs in their run in the early 2000s.
I mean, I know they had the 1 year in there when Robinson had the back injury. They tanked, got Duncan. But I thought once Duncan got there, they won 50 every stinking year.
All right, let me check. For historical context, we want to make sure Bob Whitsitt's not lying to us. Let's see here. Let's go to, 98, 99, 37 wins.
Yeah, 47 for the Bulls in the year when MJ came back and they lost to Orlando.
Yeah, this Bob Whitsitt's an idiot. They definitely did.
The Spurs had to. Duncan was like an automatic 50-win player.
So, obviously, there was a lockout shortened season that they didn't get to. That's kind of misleading. They were 37-13, won the title.
Because they played 50 games that
year. Then they went 53, 58, 58, 60, 57, 59, 63, 58, 56, 54, 50, 61, 50, 58, 62, 55, 66. Look. It took them until 2018 in order to not get there. So, Bob Whitsitt, first off, take accountability for being a dumbass and trading for Sean Kemp. Also, your stats are wrong. There's not only three teams
you
in the history.
You get stats
of the
wrong when
that.
You're doing content.
That's pretty egregious. If there's like a random team from like the 1950s who did it, and you're like, oh,
of all
wow.
the things to be bickering about from the doc, it'd
I'm
be
upset.
How about why did you bring in Reuben Patterson and Sean Kemp?
Pretty bad stuff, man. Pretty bad stuff. Pretty frustrating.
I just
relive some of it.
I don't know how much people love it. I haven't gotten a feel for that yet. I don't think it's been out long enough for people to like
it. I don't know how many people have even watched it. Yeah, because it came out, and then if you're working yesterday, you get home, there's a Blazer game on TV last night. Like, I think people will eventually get to it and watch it. And I would recommend watching it. Like, there's moments in there where you learn something. I didn't remember the detail about the team bus driving past the Hummer. Like, there's little anecdotes in there that are pretty funny.
That part I remember, yes.
You remember the team bus driving by it?
I also love Rashid acting like he saw everybody's face. Those windows are super tinted, and it's like 11:30 at night.
I think it was like 3 o'clock in the morning.
I saw your teammates' faces in your head. But yeah, the yellow Hummer thing, you get to relive.
Good reminder that nothing good ever happens in Chehalem. Nothing ever.
Centralia.
Was it Centralia?
Centralia or Chehalis.
Chehalis. Either one. It's fine. Get out of there.
Chehalem Glen. Fun golf course.
Chehalem Glen is a great
Chehalem
golf course.
Mountains. Lovely wineries up there.
Can we also be honest? When they showed the photo of the pullover Centralia officer with a dog, you went,
yeah, that sounds about right.
Oh, they got super aggressive, huh?
Oh, Damon saying I got pulled over three times in one day.
In
Oswego.
Yeah.
All righty, lots to get to in the final hour of the show. Somebody stepping away, some more thoughts on the Blazers, including historical context of what we need to know. Something the Jailblazer Doc overlooked. We've played the Spurs a lot in the playoffs, including a conference finals.
Yes.
So we'll give you some of the numbers behind that. Stat or story coming up at 9:15. It's a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM The Fam.